Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to restore original Christianity for today and also to understand the message of God Himself to all mankind who has rejected Him. They rejected Him in their government, kicked him out, in their education and schools, in their churches, and in their private lives. And collectively they think that, well, we can take care of ourselves. Have you ever stopped and looked at the condition of mankind in the world today? Now, because men have not wanted to listen to God Himself. You know, the Israelites heard God give the Ten Commandments to them, and what was their reaction? Oh, don't let us hear the voice of God anymore, lest we die. But Moses, you speak to Him, and you talk to us, and we'll do it. But they never did, because it was always the man, Moses, see, rather than God. Well, at first, when God created Adam and Eve, they lived right with Him in the Garden of Eden. And because they didn't believe God, they were exiled from the Garden of Eden. Men don't want to believe God. Men don't want to accept Jesus Christ. Men do not want to acknowledge that God is creator. God is author of life. God is author of design. No. We'll have none of that. So that's why God sent Jesus Christ, to come and bring a personal message, being made a man. Because people would say, like the Israelites did, oh, don't let me hear the voice of God. But what if God came and told you face to face, in the person of a man? Would you then believe Him? And since that wasn't believed, and He knew it wouldn't be believed, He caused the whole Bible to be preserved, and especially for this end time generation, which is going to witness the return of Jesus Christ in power and might from the heavens, so that you would be forewarned, so that you would know where men are going and their destructive evil ways under the inspiration of Satan the devil, who's the prince of the power of the air, and leading all men and women to do what is right in their own eyes. And look at the collective nonsense that we have today. And you are going to see the degeneracy of human beings and the lawlessness of human beings. You haven't seen anything yet because we are still quite a long way from the return of Christ. And it says there in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the love of many shall grow cold. Isn't that the way it is today? Because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now here's a lesson concerning the prophecies of the Bible. God does not do the many, many, itty-bitty fulfillment. He does the maximum. So when He says lawlessness is going to be multiplied, you are going to see such a degeneration of human beings from now forward. And if you thought that we're degenerate from what you knew backward coming to today, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're just beginning to get a glimpse of it with these gangs that come out at night in the neighborhoods and roam up and down the streets and threaten those who live in their neighborhoods. And if you do anything against them, the police can't come out and do anything. You're going to see a lawlessness increase that is going to be absolutely astounding. Yet God sent His word, so everyone would know, which is printed today in nearly every viable language that there is. And there are more Bibles in the world than ever before. And that's because God is getting his message out to people, sending them a Bible. Now, whether they read it or not is up to them. But it's like this. If someone wrote you a letter and said, you have inherited $1 billion in gold. And of course, the word of God is worth more than gold, fine gold. But we'll just say $1 billion in gold, okay? The letter was delivered certified. You got it? You said, well, I don't know what this is. So I'm going to stick it up on my shelf in my library. Just forget it. Then lo and behold, another letter comes. And in this letter it says, you have X number of days to redeem and collect your $1 billion in gold. And you look at this certified letter and say, oh, well, that's from the same person who sent the other one. And I know him. He's nothing. So you just file it up on your shelf. And then you find out that someone else down the street got the same letter. And lo and behold, they opened them up. And when the time came for them to receive the $1 billion in gold, they got it. So you run home and you open up the letters, open them up and read them, and oh, lo and behold, you pass the deadline and you don't get it. That's exactly what it is with the Word of God. It is worth more than all the gold in the world, and yet people count it as nothing. And they despise it. And even those who are supposed to preserve it, pervert it. And even those who are supposed to preach it, cast it away. No wonder they reject Jesus Christ and God the Father. While we're sophisticated and modern today that those like Raymond Kurzweil say, by the year 2030, we will find immortality. And you know how they're going to do it? With nanotechnology. Men are so great. We can think of all of these things, and we can design these artificial little nanotechnology creatures that we can ingest, and they will go into our bodies, and they will get rid of disease, and they will get rid of sickness, and we will be able to perpetuate and become immortal. Now, there's one thing, Raymond, you forgot. God is going to send a great electromagnetic shock on this earth. And when he does, all those who have all those little nano things in their bodies, they're gone. Because only life comes from God. It doesn't come from your great brains, and it doesn't come from the technology of men. So now we live in a society that Lloyd Gehring writes about on page 35. Quote, scientists have long since dropped the practice of appealing to God as the answer to their questions. Moreover, they have led us to understand how the universe operates according to its own internal laws, laws that even explain the very slow evolution of life on this tiny planet. You know, evolution is a lawless invention of the minds of lawless men. Because there's no such thing as evolution and mutation of cells to improve something. It always degenerates. Thus, he concludes, we can now simply say that we live in a self-evolving universe that appears to have no need of a divine creator to explain either its existence or its continuing operation. To say this may not necessarily be true, so even he can't say that. Totally dogmatic. Says, no, this may not be true. Well, dear Lloyd, it is not true. and it's all going to come crashing down on your head. But it is not entirely so nonsensical as it once appeared to be. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's come to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Now you see, everyone wants to have the love of God and have the blessing of God, even though they ignore Him and reject Him and repudiate His laws and commandments, repudiate His word. Oh, don't let any harm come to me. Well, how else is God going to let you know that you are going against Him? So God challenges you here. Verse 25 of Isaiah 40. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold. You get a hold of as many telescopic pictures that Hubble telescopes, Hubble number one and Hubble number two, have done, and you look at those things and see how fantastic they are and realize that now they have had to up the ante on the estimates of the number of galaxies, and they now estimate it to be 360 trillion. Can you say in your heart, those things came from nothing? Can you say in your heart, God did not create those? Can you say in your heart, God, stay out of my life? I want to live my life the way I want to and expect all the blessings, expect everything to go right? Never happened. Now notice what He does. Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names by the greatness of His might, for He is strong in power, and not one fails. That's what God says. You willing to take the challenge? Now, all of those who are so high and mighty in their vanity of their own minds, are they willing to take the challenge? Are they willing to listen to God? Are they willing to repent? If not, the very thing that they reject, the Word of God, will judge them. And the very one they despise is going to personally call them to account. What will you do when that day comes? The only way that we are going to get right with God is to do so on His terms, not ours. Because God is God. And He says, I made you, I created you, I've given you life and breath, given you the spirit of man. I've given you intelligence and understanding, and I have sent my word to you. Are you willing to study it and prove it? Are you willing to believe it and live by it? What are you willing to do? See, that's why the Christian church is going literally to hell in a handbasket. Well, let's rephrase that. It's literally going to hell without a handbasket, because it has rejected Him for a long time, and they've had the Word of God, and they have not used it the way that they should. So here's the challenge that God offers to all men. You want to reject the Word of God? You want to despise it? You want to say, I don't exist when I give you life and breath and everything? And your whole life and everything you do depends upon me, God says? Verse 21, Isaiah 41. Draw near with your cause, says the Lord. Bring out your strong reason, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring them out and declare to us the things that shall happen. But what happened to Harold Camping? Didn't happen. What's going to happen to 2012 and all the Mayan prophecies? Oh, yes, we're getting closer to 2012, and everybody's going to get all excited, and the History Channel is going to show all of these things and all of the lies, you know. And as someone said, well, there must be something to it, because the Mayans quit counting at 2012. You know what the true answer is to that? God the Father and Jesus Christ haven't quit counting. They're still counting. So we're going to go through 2012, and someone's going to have to invent an excuse, you see. You got to have the spin. It's like Harold Camping. He said, well, I missed it by 6 months. It's going to be October 21st. All right. What are you going to say on October 22nd? And what are you going to do with all the money that people sent you? Let's go on. Bring your cause. State it. Bring them out. Declare to us the things that shall happen. Let them reveal the former things. Tell us what went on in the past. What are they that we may consider them and know the final end of them, or to declare to us things to come? Then he says, let's make it one step better, the next verse. Yes. You accept the challenge? You say I don't exist? You don't believe my word? You won't keep my commandments? You lie about my son, Jesus Christ? You lie about my laws? You lie about my existence? You live a life of lies, and you expect me to bless you? You expect you to be important? Stand up. Let's hear it. Verse 23, reveal the things that are to come after this, so that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, so that we may be dismayed and see it together. Let's see it. Won't happen. It won't happen. See, God is in charge and God is in control. And futile men running down here, ignoring God, are trying to speak for him when they give some of his words, or trying to make God equal with idols. We're going to see some astounding things here, because I got a couple more quotes that are going to blow your mind as to how far down Christianity has gone in rejecting Jesus Christ and God the Father, and what they are now beginning to accept in place of it. What does God say? Verse 24, behold, you are of nothing, and your work is of nothing, and he who chooses you is an abomination. And yet, those are the things that we teach our children in the government schools from kindergarten up. Evolution and immoral sex, and that destroys the mind, the heart, their abilities, and they are dumbed down to the point that we are creating the greatest lawless society that has ever been. All because of well-intentioned people legislating lawlessness as the law of the land, and religionists who set the tone, who declared Jesus abolished the law, and they judge the lawgiver. Now, if you think you're gods, let's go to the book of Job. Oh, I love this section of the book of Job. God gives a challenge to everyone. Now, Job was really a righteous man. He really did keep the things of God. But you know what his sin was? He forgot that God gave him all those things and the ability to do it. And he thought that it was from his own way and his own power and his own ability and his own might. And he got to the point so deluded in his vanity that he thought his righteousness was greater than God's. And that's what the people of the world today have. All right? Now here's God's challenge to Job, and also God's challenge to everyone who rejects him. See? Now why are we going through all of these things, and some might say belaboring the point? Because you need to understand how deep and how vast and how absolutely hateful and ugly and lawlessness that has been created into society by the elite, by the educational system, by the religious system, the Christianity of this world. and how God is going to judge the whole world for. Now let's come to Job 38. This is very interesting because Job said, "Oh, I wish God would come down and talk to me." Well, in Job's case, he did. He said, "Oh, I wish there were an umpire between me and God so that the umpire could tell God how good I really am." And God came down and said, "Job, I gave you the breath of life. I gave you my word. Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I made these things?" Job 38. Job got his wish. Careful what you wish for. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Yes, the vain elite of this world." So God says, "Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me." And that's exactly what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns and the heavens roll back as a scroll, and the earth and the heavens and the sea and the land, the whole world is shaken by God. What is your answer then? So God continued and asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. If you're so smart and know all about evolution, you ought to know that it's impossible." Verse 5, "Who has determined its measurements if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened to? Or who laid its cornerstone?" "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as it came from the womb?" Let's see the conversation continued over here in chapter 40 and verse 1. The Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he who contends with the Almighty instruct him?" Isn't that what we found in Isaiah, the 40th chapter? Yes. "He who reproves God, let him answer it." "Oh, God doesn't exist." Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile, and what shall I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." Yes, everybody better repent and understand how vile that they are. Job continues, "I have spoken, I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up your loins now like a man, and I will declare of you, and you declare to me. Will you even annul my judgment?" Will you? Will men do that? Get away with it? "Will you condemn me so that you may be righteous?" And isn't that what Lloyd Gearing is doing? And isn't that what the Jesus Seminar is doing? And isn't that what the ministers of the world are doing? Yes, indeed. "Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Let's see you produce some qualities of God." Verse 10, here's what you need to do. "Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory. Make yourself as God. Let's see you shine in glory and spiritual power. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold everyone who is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone who is a proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them into the dust together, and bind their faces in darkness. Then," God says to Job, "I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you." God can also tell you this. If you think I don't exist, try that. If you don't think my word is true, try that. If you don't love me, if you don't obey me, you're in deep trouble. That's why we have the Bible. But you see, people like to go through and pick out the little things that make them feel good. Well, all your righteousness and all your feeling good, though you think it is really, really, really good, is going to come to nothing. That's what God says. That's why we have church at home, so that you in your own home can open your Bible, study your Bible, learn of your Bible, that you can pray, that you can study, that you can draw close to God, that you can find Him in your life, that He will answer your prayers, that you can begin to have confidence in the Word of God and grow in grace and knowledge and faith and understanding. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We also have many video sermons that you can download and watch or have streaming services right in your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.